This podcast is supported by the team at NZ Audio Editors. For all your editing services, you can find us on the World Wide Web at www.nzaudioeditors.com.
Welcome to Rocking Midlife, the podcast show that is here to encourage you that your second chapter in life can rock. My name is Kat Coluccio. I'm your host, and in each episode, I will be joined by some amazing people who have chosen to rock their midlife years and beyond. So if you're looking down the barrel of midlife and wondering if your best years are behind you, this podcast is just for you, so make sure that you subscribe. Want to continue the conversation? Join me in my free Facebook group, Rocking Midlife, or find me at katcoluccio.com, where I have some fabulous free giveaways to encourage you that it is never too late to have a new beginning in life. But for now, let's rock.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Rocking Midlife, the podcast. And I'm excited, which I say all the time anyhow, but I am particularly excited today as I have two amazing ladies on today who are actually doing something really incredible here in New Zealand. So Natalie and Kathy, welcome.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks, Kat.
Cool. All righty. Now, I'm going to do my usual little scroll thing, so stay tuned, and I'm just going to quickly read a little bio about both of them. So first of all, Natalie Cutler-Welsh, who I've known for a number of years, amazing lady. She is known as New Zealand's go-to girl. Her superpower is connecting people and empowering them to amplify their impact and visibility so that they can change the world for good. She's a Canadian Kiwi, hence the interesting accent. You're going to get a few interesting accents today because I'm Australian, sort of Kiwi. An international speaker, a parenting author, entrepreneur, and mother of three who believes that the key to happiness is to up your brave, say what you want, and make it happen. Now, we're also joined with Kathy Mellett, who is Net Branding New Zealand, which is her company. She's the founder and she's a leader in digital marketing industry in New Zealand. So Kathy is a keynote speaker, a digital marketing consultant. She's been working in information service industries right back since 1989, which is pretty good going for this particular demographic, isn't it? Because it's all usually all the young ones in there, but we don't realise that there's people who have gone before these young ones and been around more than 5 minutes. So Kathy was involved in digital services even before the internet as we know it was around. And that gives her an unrivaled body of experience to support clients' online aspirations in an ever-changing digital world. Now, what's particularly exciting, though, is Kathy is also the founder of an amazing charity. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because both Nat and Kathy have paired up to actually launch an initiative, which is to help kids who get absorbed in, I'm doing the long-fangled version here, I'll get you to explain it, but basically to help kids get off their screens and into the real world. So welcome, ladies. And Kathy, I'll get you to jump in first of all, because I did such a botched version of that. Tell us about what the charity is about.
Well, if we really sum up the charity, and thanks for that intro, Kat, we sum up the charity, we can really say it's to support our young people with digital coping strategies, but not only our young people, those people that care about them. And it's really to what we call start the conversation and start having that different conversation. In my opinion, and please feel free to interject, as parents, we head off to school nights and we hear about the horrors of the internet. Well, I don't think that the internet is a horrible place, because Natalie works in it and she's been able to create a profile for herself. My clients work in it on a very daily basis. And so I believe that there is positive in that environment, but there are also things that I wanted to raise that conversation around. And when parents come home from those meetings at schools, they typically come home with a very similar strategy of the internet's bad, you've got to be careful about your digital footprint, you know, you mustn't spend time online and all of those things. And they start having that negative conversation with our young people. But where Natalie and I are coming from is there's positive conversations to have if we place a umbrella around it of support, resilience, grit, and love in that environment.
I like that. That sounds fabulous. So, Nat, can you explain to us exactly what this initiative is that you and Kathy are doing? I know that you've got some great sponsorship happening there as well.
Yes, so the I'm Enough charity has been going already. I simply pair it up with Kathy because I really had an aha moment going, oh my gosh, what you do brings together, you know, the Olympic rings of my journey, which is author, you know, parenting author, working with entrepreneurs, using the digital space, and also massively concerned about not only my own use of tech time, but also kids and teens. So I've got a 10, a 12, and a 14-year-old. And I am concerned about them growing up in this environment, not only their eyes, their body health, their posture, but also their self-confidence, their belief, their resilience. And so when I learned about Kathy, who I already knew her, I didn't know about her charity. And when she mentioned it to me, I was like, this is it. We're going to do something. So I'm excited that our worlds have collided again. And that what we're doing is my superpower, like I said, is bringing people together and connecting people. I know a ton of amazing speakers and guest experts. So shining the light on them or inviting them to share their insights and tips for free and encouraging raising awareness, but also raising dollars like funds to all go towards the I'm Enough charity so that we can give teachers, teams, organizations, parents, and kids coping strategies to make the most of the internet instead of having it really change their lives in a negative way.
That's fantastic. What a great initiative. And I love the perspective you're both coming at it from. The internet is actually something. It's here, isn't it? It's part of normal everyday life now. And, you know, like Kathy was saying, we can't just do this blanket approach of it's evil kids, you've got to stay off it and everything. We've actually just got to actually train children to use it wisely, don't we? And use it for the purposes that it's intended. Mm-hmm. Now, what I love, look, I have to apologize right now. Anyone who's watching this on YouTube, you will understand if there's suddenly noises happening, I have a cat that decided to jump up on the table and purr really loudly right underneath the microphone. So apologies if you're hearing funny sounds around here. That's just how we roll in this house. Okay, so what I love is our podcast here is called Rocking Midlife. And we have women from all around the world that are listening in, and we have women in all different stages of life. So some of those women are empty nesters by the time they hit midlife, but more and more, many of them are actually still raising kids who are teens, which is why I felt it was really important that we, you know, interviewed you ladies so you can talk about some of the tips and tools that you have for mums who might be dealing with this issue in their homes right now. Particularly, like we were saying before, it's lockdown happening, you know, it's in lockdown in New Zealand at the moment. It's happening in so many countries around the world where women are listening in. And the reality of that is a lot of families are using screen time more than ever. So, Kathy, you tell us, what are some of your tips? You're a mother. Both of these ladies are mothers. What are some of your tips for parents trying to deal with this screen time issue?
Well, in terms of the screen time issue, you know, that's one thing. But probably my greatest tip, again, coming back to that start conversation, was my aha moment into I want to make something different. And it happened at that point in time with my own 13-year-old. It was time for dinner. And we've all been in those situations where it's dinner and you want everyone to come to the table so that you can do this thing and get it done. And I turned to my 13-year-old and I said, come to dinner. And he said, I can't, Mum. And I said, why can't you come to dinner? And he said, because I'm trying to help a child who's wanting to self-harm.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought to myself, what skills have I as a parent provided to him when we know that through the internet and through social, we are allowing those other children into their bedrooms, into their life, into their environment? And have I ever had that conversation with him? So what I'd be suggesting is my one, probably the most important tip I give is have that very conversation with your child. If you are aware that anyone else is in danger of self-harm or worse, what will you do about it? Who will you respond to? And the other thing that I have acknowledged through this journey of I'm Enough is every single one of us as parents have a duty of care if a child tells you something. And that duty of care is to take it to an adult that can do something about it. And that could mean me picking up the phone to Nat and going, Nat, I have no judgment. I'm here to share something with you. I've got proof of the conversation. I'm sharing it with you so that you can deal with it. Yep. And I think we talk about the conversation. conversation in terms of lengths of time, but I think there's that very important conversation that I doubt many parents have had with the children about what do they do if.
That's really powerful. And I really think too, between parents, you touched on this, and it's funny because I heard of a similar incident just recently. Parents need to see each other as advocates for each other in supporting. Mm. So if I come to Nat and say, hey, Nat, I'm a bit concerned. I've seen this on your son's social profile. She's not immediately embarrassed and negative and defensive. She realizes that I'm actually speaking out because I'm concerned for her child. Mm. And I think that's really important that parents start to do that. I love that concept, duty of care. And I'll actually tell you one of my own private stories about that later on. But Natalie, what are some of your thoughts around this?
I totally agree with what Kathy's saying. What's coming to mind for me is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
We are, right? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I think you're right. And if as parents, we have a growth mindset. So if someone comes to us and says, listen, I saw this thing, the response is not, oh, excuse, don't want to know, head in the sand.
Yeah.
The response is, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I will thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. I'm going to look into that. Because I think we do need to be guardians of the galaxy together. So I love that concept. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, my kids, we started doing over the summer break, just at the end of the summer break, because they really got into that habit of waking up early and getting straight onto the tech. And I was like, this is not positive. So I piggybacked on an idea that my fitness instructor had, and what I call it double time. So she did one-to-one. I'm doing 1-to-2. What that means is for every hour they spend outside, like outside of the house, outside of the car, they don't have to be jogging, but if they're playing basketball in the veggie garden, watering the garden, playing with the guinea pigs on the trampoline, in the pool, reading a book outside, then they can have double that amount of time on tech. For some parents, that might sound generous, but honestly, that is a step in the right direction from where we were at.
I think that's brilliant. I love that. And I think, you know, incentivizing kids, we know that works. I'm an ex-high school teacher. I know that incentives work, but it's choosing the right way to use it, to leverage it, just so it's a positive thing. And you've got the family buy-in there because obviously you've sat down with them and talked that over, haven't you? And they've bought in. And I do think family buy-in is critical for success in managing tech in the home. What would you think about that, Kathy?
And Kat, you're absolutely right, because I think that we are the first generation of parents that have actually absolved ourselves of responsibility around digital, because nowhere in our histories have a parenting generation turned to the younger generation and said, you know more about this than what I do.
Yeah.
Now, that is true, and we understand it to be true, but ultimately we've got skills, we've got life skills, we've got experiences, we've learned how to navigate through situations. And so whilst they know which buttons to push and what things to go to, and sometimes we do look like little monkeys as we're trying to push on the screen.
Absolutely.
We bring a whole heap of skills to those conversations. And so that is the gift that we can give our children. You know, if they're in situations, we understand how to navigate. We understand how to counter things that could be happening. And so whilst we don't always understand the digital, let's turn this conversation into a positive that we all bring our skills together to work through this thing.
I like that. Nat, what are some other practical tips that you've used with your children in helping monitor that? Because I love your double time. Have you got any other gems for us?
Well, the other gem would be like, get outside yourself, right? So it's not, rather than being go outside, you need to spend an hour. I'm the mom, possibly not yet too embarrassing because they still want me to play with them. I'm the mom on the monkey bars at the at the playground. And I'm the mom playing basketball with my kids outside. I am not very talented with any sort of hand-eye coordination with balls, but you know, they've been loving that. So we've kind of dialed up the outdoorsy sports stuff that we don't normally do. Or I'll jump on the trampoline with them like a little bit. They don't always need me, but sometimes they really love it when I get in there and play with them. So it's not so much pointing the finger outside. It's being alongside them outside. And that obviously benefits us as adults. So it's really, I guess we call it role modeling.
And you know something, that is absolutely perfect. Because I know when I was raising my kids when they were little, it was TV. The thing was, people would leave their kids watching the TV. The TV was the babysitter. Now it's YouTube or whatever else that they're looking at on their phones and their devices and everything. And that used to be the same thing. Like, you can't tell the kid, no, sit there and watch TV for hours when you've got the TV going constantly in the background for hours. And it's the same exactly now, isn't it? Because how many of us are guilty? The minute we're up, we're checking messages constantly. It's like, oh, yeah, hang on, kids. And you're on your phone. And it is. It's very much us needing to discipline ourselves now if we want our children to carry on that discipline. Now, one thing I did, my children are a lot older than Kathy's and Nat. So one thing I did with my children, because they were the era of Bebo and MySpace, which were like, you know, the early versions of Facebook and what we have now. So both of my kids, one's 28, one's 30 now. So at that time, I was the only mother actually who would go online. And we had a rule in our household, and that was that I had their passwords to everything, and it hung over their heads that I could subject them to random checks at any time. Now, I didn't ever really do that, but the threat of it was there. But what happened was there was a transparency then in what they posted. They were considerate about what they posted. And I was the one at the time. None of my other parents, because my kids were both involved in sports, so I knew a lot of the parents quite well, none of them did that. It was all too scary. We don't know anything about that world, so they kind of backed right out. And in those early years, that's when we would see, you know, people posting really bad things on kids' timelines and stuff like that. So I was the one who actually went to the other parents, like what you were saying before, and having to say, hey, look, I'm really sorry, but I don't know if you've seen what's been posted on your child's wall. And the thing I taught my kids too was about what you post on your walls and social media, which obviously now is like your Instagram and your Facebook and all of those, is your employer's going to look at that down the track. That stuff's out there. And I think that's a really critical lesson for kids to get in their heads too, that what they post out there is there forever. Any comments on that one, Kathy?
The only thing that I would say is, you know, you've raised the age of your children, and my children are 19 and 15 now, and I have a guardian daughter that I'm connected with. But what I think, there's a huge difference even between my 19-year-old and my 15-year-old in terms of the escalation and the intensity of this thing that we call the internet. You know, we only have to look at TikTok. And we have to look at the age of some of the young girls, and I'll call them, you know, young girls, because it's majority girls that I'm seeing in TikTok, and how they're presenting themselves in the most provocative of fashions, you know, and why? Because they have this affinity to look cool, to live up to the number of views they get, to live up to all the things around it. And there's been a recent piece of research that has come out of a university in the UK that states if a girl and boys, but if a girl is on social media before they are equipped to be in that space, they have a higher tendency towards mental health issues later on.
Wow.
So
that's fascinating.
Mm.
Wow. Nat, what are your thoughts? Because you've got a daughter and your children are the next age group down. So it's kind of cool. We're spanning quite a few age groups here.
Yeah, exactly. My daughter actually took herself off Instagram over the summer because she just got sick of seeing everyone else's good times and started to fall into that comparison mode, which we tend to do. I think also, you know, self-belief, you know, thinking about your self-confidence, resilience, these are all things that we're trying to help boost with this project that we're doing and with the charity. And I think it's so easy for people to fall into that mode of comparing themselves to others and presenting themselves. You know, I do a lot of work with entrepreneurs around personal brand. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've got like a 10-year-old, they're not thinking about personal brand, but they are, like you said, it's not, is that really how they want to come across? And do their parents even know they have those videos? I think it's something we need to be really, really careful about. We need to, you know, protect them, but also not banning them. Like, I love the idea, Kat, of empowering them. We just did the same thing with our kids. Hey, you know what we think would be a great idea is if mom and dad like know your passwords, and then we'll have, you know, not we're going to subject you to like, we're not going to check it every Friday, but we can, you know, if we want to. And I think just that, them knowing that and then buying into that will help them think twice, right? Before they click post and that type of thing. And I think I personally am looking forward to hearing other parents' comments on that whole, do you get the passwords? And it all comes back to how you manage it in that conversation. and getting that buy-in, I think it's a really, it's a smart idea. It's a good strategy.
Absolutely. It all comes down to buy-in, doesn't it? Getting everybody on board. Sorry, Kathy, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, absolutely. It does come into buy-in, but I think it also comes into, sorry, got a frog in my throat, a parent being confident to take a stand.
Yeah.
And you might need to dig into yourself. But, you know, I've seen come into my son's bedroom where he's got all his mates sitting around, and I've walked in and there's been six of them on devices. Yeah. And I've actually gone, no, this is not how we work in this house. Could you please all put those devices away? You're here with each other. Start having a conversation. Connect with each other. Do things in a different way, because you don't all come from your own homes to sit in one room and do exactly the same thing. What are you saying to those immediate people around you in terms of spending time with them?
No, that's good. That's good. What are your thoughts on that, Nat? Oh, I don't know if she heard me. Have you frozen?
Oh, I'm just doing this because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, yes.
Youth have lost
the art of connecting in real life. Like, they literally don't even call their mates, and that's fine. You know, what they do is these little video clips on Snapchat, and they send a little video, which is cute. I mean, I do that too sometimes with clients. I'll do a little video clip and they love it. It's personal. But my concern is that teens, some of them have lost the art of just having a conversation. So one of the things we've always done is when we go to a restaurant, my kids will each order for themselves. We go to the bakery, they will order for themselves. Like, they will look the adult in the eye. They will use manners, because I feel like if all they can do is message and use shorthand and emojis, we just need to go back to, like you said, Kathy, when they're in real life with each other, they need to actually engage with each other. These are crucial social skills, as well as, you know, just interaction for happiness. If you won't be as happy if you're sitting there on the phone, not to mention your body health and your neck as well.
Yeah.
Well, there are two things that relate to that, Natalie. The first thing is, if you listen to Dr. Fran Brin, who is one of the psychologists who support I'm Enough, she talks about the eye and the heart moment, actually looking at somebody in the eye and feeling them around you, connecting with them in a certain way. And that has huge amount of benefit for your well-being. The other thing that you'd be pleased to know that I'm busy writing a book at the moment. And the final chapter that I'm putting together at the moment is, and I don't believe a lot of people have talked to this, is the impact of this generation as they then become parents. What is the first thing when the baby is born? The baby starts to look around and it looks for, you know, it looks for the face. Yeah. It looks for engagement. And we're raising a generation, as you've said, Nat, who doesn't want to lift their eyes up from a phone. And what skills will that give them as they go into parenting, where they have to interact and they have to manage and they have to guide?
Yeah. I think everything ultimately comes back to the family unit, doesn't it? Really, it's instilling these things, that consciousness about manners, that consciousness about, are my children able to relate to other people, being aware of their time, being aware of, are they moving their bodies? I know that was always a big thing in our household too. Our kids had to do sport, had to get out and move and run around. That was part of it. But all of those things come back to parents being able to stand in their stead as parents and go, actually, this is how our family works, and being strong enough to engage that with the kids and get them on board and actually then follow through. I find following through is the tricky one. When you've got your 13-year-old screaming at you that they hate you because you've taken their phone off them for an hour, you know, you've got to be able to follow through with that type of thing, don't you? Have you found any incidents where parents are struggling with that type of thing, Kathy? Because you kind of mentioned before that parents need to be stronger.
Yeah, I think it is a very hard thing to do, because it's very dependent on how your children have been raised and how open they are to that. You know, and I can see some of the children, when I do such a thing, look at me as if, you know, excuse me, or when I raise questions around social media and I go, right, you boys, you're all in this room, so I want, you know, snap maps off, and they'll go, why? Or, and I have those conversations, and I think it's some parents just need a little bit of encouragement to know that those conversations are okay. From a societal perspective, you know, there's been the whole question about how we parent. And I think the time is now to take back some of our power and be confident to make those decisions. However, and we do have some, you know, split parenting specialists coming on through our speaking program. That's not always easy. And I often get calls from people who are in those split houses where mum and dad are at a point where they're not seeing eye to eye. And so little Johnny gets away with murder at the one house and you know, the other parent is slightly stricter. So, you know, how do you navigate through that area? I don't know if you've got anything to say on that, Natalie, because you work closely with those parenting coaches.
Yeah, I think the main thing we're looking at here is no guilt, no shame, but empowering parents. Like, you got this, you know, you can set the standards, you can role model, you can change the rules. Like, if you said it was fine for them to have their phones in the room, you can be like, you know what, I'm actually, and when a new term starts, it's sometimes a good time, but anytime you can say, you know what, mom and I have had a chat, or, you know, even if they're in split households, we've decided that, you know, we're all going to put our phones, including ourselves, it's upstairs, you know, in the kitchen overnight. So we don't really want your phones beside your brilliant brains buzzing away all night long, do we? So maybe they'll have to buy an alarm clock. So I think it's empowered conversations and intentional choices, not just waiting till something happens, but no guilt for parents. It's just like, this is your time, because we are the first generation to experience this as parents. And and we do have this Guardians of the Galaxy thing. I love the fact that you said to them, turn off your snap Mac. We have to look out for each other, because if they're at someone's house, a play date nowadays is like 4 or 5 hours. Like, we want to make sure that they're not going to be on the tech for 5 hours when they're at someone's house.
And if we look at a study that came out of the University of Otago, they looked at the connection between sleep deprivation and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the higher level of social media use, the more it impacts on your sleep. So it's a vicious cycle. So there are some real bits of resources. But again, I feel it's important that we come back into a mode where technology can be used for good. We are in lockdown. It does give people an ability to connect with one another.
Yeah.
We all know that we're sitting in different environments, connecting with one another to do this podcast, where we could have come together in a particular place. So they are huge benefits. And I don't want those huge benefits to be clouded by all of these conversations. I think these conversations happen in a method of managing it, being aware, putting the safety nets in place, and enabling all parties, being it teachers to children, children to teachers, kids to kids, parents to kids, kids to parents. And thinking about that, it's not only parents, it's caregivers, because there are a lot of grandparents raising children. Just empowering that conversation, and as you said, Natalie, standing in your special place and know that you can be a determinator and a decision maker.
That's brilliant. I was just thinking, have you girls put together like a list of hacks or a checklist that your parents could download and take away just with all these practical tips?
No, you can do that, Kat. Kat is one of our special guests. We're so excited to have you share your knowledge. We also have a massive lineup. I know Kathy asked me about co-parenting. Jacqueline Richards on co-parenting. Cam Calcoon on self-belief. Michael Hempseed on overcoming failure. Ellie Bambury on friendships and loneliness. We've got Kat Levine on kids and emotions, et cetera, et cetera. We've got incredible speakers. We're so excited to just 10-minute talks. They're short, they're sweet, you can grab them and go. And we're just hoping to really empower and inspire parents and teens and everybody in between to, you know, to really make the most and of this digital age, and so that we remain empowered instead of disillusioned and overwhelmed.
There's another area too that we haven't even touched on, because it's probably the one people do talk about the most. And I'm wondering if you've got anyone speaking on this during the, you know, your interview series. And that is, what about children staying safe online? Because remember, you know, we have the situations of children being groomed or, you know, being inappropriately talked to. Is that going to be touched on at all?
I don't believe we've actually touched on it in the series, but I do actually have a video on that online, and that's the concept of stranger danger. You mm-hmm. know, in the past, stranger danger has always been you don't go to the park and you don't accept lollies, and there's been a different conversation, and that conversation does need to change. And I think that in some way, Caitlin Brin, who is one of our youth advocates, will be touching on that because right. she ran an experiment in a school environment. She created a fake profile under teacher's guidance. So mm-hmm. I know we're not allowed to create fake yeah. profiles within the Facebook environment, but she did. And she created it, and she befriended so many people. And she talks to the dangers of doing that. So it's about, we do have some videos on stranger danger. There is a different conversation to be had. Mm. And the other thing that I've often pondered, which is to go right back to the beginning, Kat, is as parents, you know, perhaps not in New Zealand, but certainly in other countries around the globe, in the past, your children ran amok. They ran down the street, they ran yeah. to Johnny's house, they were out at play. And when the sun set, they knew they had to be home, and because there was going to be dinner. In the world that we're in today, I think parents have isolated and insulated and brought their children indoors because be careful of climbing the trees, don't go to the park. There were so mm-hmm. many don'ts that parents felt the environment within their home where they could see their children was a place where their children were safer. And so that's where the use of the internet was, the use of TV originally, the use of the internet, because their kids were safer. But are they really? And we've touched already, they're losing so many other skills. They're losing the skill for balance. They're losing the decision-making power against risk versus action. Mm. And I've loved Celia Lashley and all the work that she did. And I remember her. She was a lady that was reasonably high up in the prison system, and she talked about raising beautiful boys. Yeah. And she said, as parents, the first time in this modern age that we allow our children to have an action versus consequence is possibly when we put them in a V8 car and we let them loose with a learner's license.
Mm. That's and great. Yeah.
That always resonated with me.
Yeah. Yeah. So much to there's so many different areas we could go into, aren't there? That stranger danger one, the reason why it's on my mind is because obviously it happens to adults too. And scamming and all of that is rife at the moment with all the lockdowns. In fact, I interviewed a lady who I've interviewed previously as well, just last week from America. And she is one of the ones that works with the FBI, has her whole page. And she lost $1 million herself through a romance scam. So, you know, it can happen to really bright people like that. And we know that that can happen to children too. So, again, that's part of monitoring their devices, isn't it? And teaching them how to use their devices wisely. Well, look, there's so much we could go into, but we're just going to keep this nice and sharp and short. And please, everyone who's watching either on the YouTube channel or if you're listening in via your podcast platforms, all the links for these ladies are going to be below. So you can jump in and you can listen to that interview series. You can get hold of Kathy and see all the resources that she's got. Nat will introduce you to anyone you need to know because she's the connection queen. So I'm going to ask you both just to sort of give some last thoughts. So Natalie, what are some of your last thoughts, something that you really want to get across?
Well, I think it's just a great opportunity for people to pick and choose. It's like there's a buffet of videos we're putting together. You don't have to watch them all, but you might pick and choose a few things from the menu
yeah.
going, actually, I really want to know about digital addiction and how that works. I'm going to watch this 10-minute video, or I'm really curious to learn about the impact actually on, you know, I'm going to listen to the osteo talking about body health. So you can pick and choose. And the best thing you can do for us is spread the word, you know, share it. Yeah. If you see a video that resonates, private message the link to someone or share it on Facebook. And of course, if people feel called, we would love them to donate. There is a special mm-hmm. link for this particular project, which ends in February, and the money will be doubled by Healing Hands. We're very excited about that. And after that, we're going to send them to the Healing Hand, the I'm Enough link, which is ever available, and people can donate directly there. So we're just basically aiming to empower and equip teens, teachers, parents, and everybody. And that's really what I'm aiming to do as well. I love, you know, social media. I love it for the impact mm-hmm. that it has for myself and the people I get the chance to work with. but we know there's a dark side. We want to make sure that people stay safe and feel empowered and remember to get outside and play basketball with their kids now and then.
Absolutely love it. Thank you, Nat. Kathy, any final words from you?
I think Natalie summed it up beautifully. There are some incredibly talented speakers sharing their tips and their reasons and support. And obviously those videos will go on to be on the I'm Enough website on a continued basis. And we'll continue our drive into schools with an objective of, if we change one child's life, we've changed the life of the family. And so we will continue along that. And I want to thank Natalie in a public forum for all the work that she's doing behind the scenes in support of I'm Enough. Thank you, Natalie. And thank you, Kat, for pulling us together to have this podcast.
Well, thank you, ladies. I want to thank you both just for taking the initiative and doing something that is so needed. And that's my hope too. If anyone hears this interview, that they then will go and donate and listen and share it. Even if your children are growing up or, you know, you're not so directly involved, please share this message out. Share the links so that women that you know, parents you know, can go and listen and be empowered and find out ways that they can help their children navigate the world ahead of them with these, you know, with the access to these machines, this technology, while still keeping the human side and the interaction, the relationships that they need to grow and thrive. So thank you so much, everybody. Please share, subscribe, share, and let's just get the word out there that your midlife can rock and you can do amazing things in your midlife season, just like these two ladies, where you can be making a significant impact. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on the Rocking Midlife podcast. If you've been inspired by today's episode, please make sure to share and leave a review on iTunes so that more people can be inspired to rock their midlife. Remember too, you can get my free giveaways or contact me at katcoluccio.com. I would love to hear from you.